Welcome back to A Book A Day podcast, and I'm back with another book, another story. And this one is really special because it comes from an extinct Indian language, from the Andaman Islands. I have talked about this book previously also, but considering how wonderful this book is, and the kind of work that has gone behind this book, I think it deserves more attention. The book is called Voices from the Lost Horizon, written by Anvita Abbey. And as I said, the kind of research that has gone behind it, after all, it's a language that no longer exists. And the author has put literally decades into it, trying to preserve a language when there were hardly a few speakers left. And then she gathered a few stories from here and there, and then preserved them in this book. In one of the earlier episodes, I had narrated a story of creation from this culture. Today I'll narrate some of the other stories, and I hope you're going to enjoy it. The stories, as you know, with any tribal culture, they are really, really simple. But the imagination, the kind of creatures and the places that you find there are really, really something. So let's start with one story. It's called The Tale of Juro the Headhunter. I'll start now. Let's start. The Tale of Juro the Headhunter. There was a woman called Juro who lived in the forest. She was a headhunter. She would go to the seashore and catch young women and men to satisfy her appetite. While she was pregnant with a baby, she killed her husband and ate him up. She eventually delivered a baby boy, whom she loved immensely. She continued to hunt humans from the seashore. She had four arms. One of the arms had a large siroban or seashell. Another one had a keo or dagger. The third one adorned a lech or bow, and the fourth one was free to hold arrows. As the child grew up, he noticed Juro regularly visiting the seashore and bringing back meat in good quantity. Once he asked his mother what meat she had been serving him. She replied that it was boar's meat. The boy was not convinced, as the meat looked very different from that of a boar. He also noticed that she often brought back human skulls in her hands. So once he secretly followed his mother to the seashore and saw her hunting humans. He got really scared, as by now he was married and had a child. He was scared that one day Juro might eat her grandchild. He was also scared for the community, as he realized that one day no one would be left alive and the community may vanish totally. The place would be bereft of humans. So one fine day he went to the village by the seashore and met the people of the village. He came to know that the village folk were very, very worried, because they were losing young men and women every day. No one could solve the mystery of the young population disappearing. And seeing their misery, he confided in them and told them about Juro's heinous behavior. The villagers believed him and asked him to suggest a remedy. He suggested that on an afternoon when his mother would be asleep, he would hide her weapons, the siroban, the keo, and the lech. She would be powerless without these arms. The villagers could then kill her and salvage the community from future destruction. The village folk liked his idea and decided to put the plan into action to get rid of Juro on a particular day. Finally, the day for Juro's killing arrived. On that day, the boy was very sad, as he knew that he was going to lose his mother for good. Juro noticed his melancholic mood and asked him what the matter was. He just shook his head and replied, "Nothing." He then went deep into the forest and hid himself. As promised, he took along all the weapons used by his mother and hid them in the forest. The villagers came at the stipulated time and pierced Juro's body with innumerable arrows. There were so many arrows that one could not see her body properly. Juro's son returned from the jungle and saw his mother's body gored by arrows. He had tears in his eyes, but he knew that he had to sacrifice his mother for the benefit of the human community. He asked the villagers not to bury her in the earth, lest she is reborn to rise again. He knew that Juro had special powers of resurrection. Hence, he suggested to them that she should be burnt. The villagers put Juro's body on a raised platform. Her son insisted that all the weapons used by his mother should be also cremated along with her body. The villagers followed his advice and then lit up the pyre. Juro's body was thus burned to ashes. It was ironic that Juro was destroyed by the help of her son, who loved his mother immensely. As time flew by, Juro's son became the father of many children. Both his family and the villagers lived fearlessly thereafter. And that's how the story ends. I don't know why, but somehow the story reminds me of Greek mythology, of Uranos. Maybe it's because the child is plotting against their parent, and all the killing of humans that's going on there. But it kind of sounds like that. So I hope you enjoyed the story. Now let me narrate another one. This one is called The Tale of Maya Lefai. And so let's start this one. The Tale of Maya Lefai. Lefai was a young man who loved a girl immensely. He wanted to marry her, though his friends warned him that the girl was seen with another man and did not bear a good reputation. He did not believe his friends, and he said, no, I'm still going to marry her. And he did that eventually. They had four children, two boys, two girls. One fine day, he went hunting in the jungle to catch some game for his children. Somehow, he got delayed in coming home. And when he came back, he found his wife missing. When he looked inside the house, he found his children crying and there was no sign of their mother. He asked them, "Why are you crying?" And the children replied, "Our mother has left." And so he inquired, "Where did she go?" The children said, "We don't know." Hearing this, Lefai said, "Just have patience, be quiet. I'm sure she must have gone to her parents. I will go and look for her." Now, in reality, his wife had run away with a man called Noi. Lefai looked for his wife everywhere, but he could not trace her. And when he returned home empty-handed, his children confronted him. "Abba, did you find our mother?" The father replied, "No, I could not find her." Children were hard to pacify. Lefai slept that night with a heavy heart, as he was very sad and worried. The next day, he woke up and went again in the forest to look for his wife. He inquired many people if they had seen her or knew her whereabouts. Someone told him that a fire was seen in the night on top of the hill. Someone must be living there. What is the name of the place? Le Fay inquired. Bontang, people told him. He thought of visiting the place at night. He came back home and was confronted with the same question by his children. Father, did you find her? No, I could not find her, he replied. And as soon as the children went off to sleep, he left the house very quietly. He went to the seaside and lowered the boat in the water, and then he started rowing the boat towards the place where the locals had seen the fire. When he came near Bontang, he saw the light of the burning fire. He waited till the fire got extinguished, and then he mumbled to himself, "It seems they've gone to sleep now." He approached the house and saw Noi sleeping with his wife. He was so outraged that initially he thought of killing him outright. But then he thought, no, first I will wake him up and then I will kill him so that he knows who killed him and why. And Le Fay then woke Noi up. As soon as Noi opened his eyes, he looked up and saw Le Fay standing over him. Before he could rise, Le Fay shot an arrow on his shoulder joint so that his arm got stuck as if it was stitched to his side. Immediately, he shot another arrow and hit his kneecap, so restricting his movement completely. Noi fell down right there. In the meantime, Le Fay's wife woke up and seeing the whole scene, she started to run. Le Fay shot her immediately in the back, right where the arrow could pierce her heart. His wife fell on the ground and died immediately. Le Fay then went back to Noi and said, "Why did you run away with her? Could you not find any woman in the world other than my wife? That is why I want to kill you. Little do you know with what difficulties have I raised my children. If you were in love with my wife, you should have told me earlier. Had you done that, I would have never married this girl." On hearing all this, Noi requested Le Fay, "Why don't you kill me right away? Why are you giving me this pain?" "Until I am finished," he said, "until I am finished talking to you and until I have emptied my heart, I will not kill you. I will force you to suffer for more time." Le Fay then kept telling him his vows, and when he had expressed his anger, he finally said, "Now I will kill you." He drew a knife from his chest guard and pierced it through Noi's heart. Having taken revenge on Noi, Le Fay then picked up his wife's body and laid her next to dead Noi. He broke down the thatch, cut up all the wooden walls, collected all the artifacts of the house, and piled up everything on the two bodies. Le Fay then set the house on fire. He thus burned his wife and her lover. Thereafter, he returned home. He was really sad and quiet. He had some plans but dared not to discuss with anyone. He picked up his children and went deep into the forest. And no one has seen Maya Le Fay or his children ever since. And that's how it ends. That's how the story ends. Clearly a suspense at the end. And I really like this one because unlike a lot of tribal and folk stories, there is real human vulnerability, human emotion involved here. And I think that's what really makes it interesting. That's what connects us across cultures, across tribal societies, places and customs and traditions, if we have these certain human emotions that we can understand. So I hope you liked these stories, and I hope you will read more of them in the book. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll catch you next time with another book, another story. Thank you very much.